Good morning, everyone. It's very good to be here with you today. And I know there's a number of people coming and going today. And it's also my wife, Sarah, and our daughters, Isabel and Millie. They're involved in some activities at Maidenhead. So sorry, it's just me today. But hopefully, we'll have some important fellowship and chance to share time together in our God's presence. When you look at the world around us, do you get a sense that it's completely out of balance? There's a few examples that I had a look at online. Let me just show you here. So we could look at a few different news headlines, but let's not look at everything, even just this one example. How can it be possible that someone's pay packet is the same amount as an aid deal to many countries? That just doesn't seem right. The way people might be managing finances at the government level or in certain corporations, it's not always done well. And there's probably many different things we could find in that way all around the world. If you look at how our society runs, this one, there's quite a bit on this chart, so don't worry if you can't read it all. But in essence, what it's saying is the richest 10% in the world population create 50% of the impact on the environment and society as we know it, of emissions, whilst the poorest 50% only have a 10% impact. But they're people who are feeling most of the consequences of that. And maybe just unwittingly or just pure circumstance, we here in this room may find ourselves in that richest 10% just because of the way the world is. These sorts of imbalance is incredible, isn't it? And I put to you that much of the world's challenges are due to poor stewardship of the resources that are entrusted to people who could make a positive difference. And so this morning, I'd like to consider a little bit about the topic of stewardship, as I think it forms a really important dimension to our walk in the footsteps of our Lord Jesus Christ and our great God and Creator. And I want to put the question to you, what do you understand steward to be or stewardship? Any ideas on what comes to mind when I say steward?
Someone responsible.
Someone responsible, yeah. Any particular people you might see around society that might be stewards, and it may not, you know, there could be quite a few different examples. When I asked Isabel and Millie about this a little while back, so to be fair to them, there's a few that they thought about. One is like that hotel guy, you know, someone who helps answer questions if you enter a new place. How do I get down the street? How do I travel to places? Is there anything interesting to look at around here? Maybe it's a steward on a transport thing, whether it's a plane or a train. You can have these stewards, hostesses, hosts, airline staff, maybe. Maybe sometimes the people who serve the memorial bread and wine might be called stewards. Sometimes it's people at sports events get called stewards. They're guiding the crowds and spectators. And then maybe there's other examples that come to your mind as well. But I'd like to consider this concept of stewardship comes from a few different areas, and maybe depending on your background, you might be familiar with this. So if you're involved in property management, property ownership, there's a responsibility, like Andrew says, of how do you look after that facility. In economics, in law, in agriculture, it's often a term that comes through, and it comes through the scriptures in many different ways as well. And if we look at the sentiments of the sort of official definitions in Cambridge or Oxford dictionaries, it relates to careful and responsible management of something you've been entrusted with. And one that stands out particularly for me as a definition is the management of resources belonging to another in order to achieve the owner's objectives. And I think this is a meaningful definition because it explains or links it to why is the stewardship important. What are those objectives? What's the purpose that that responsibility is being given to someone? And if you put it another way, and I'm a fairly visual person, I think of it like a pyramid. If you've got the purpose or the owner's objectives at the top, and then there's resources to deliver on this. And that applies to every group of people and organizations around the world are often set up with that in mind. Whether it's a little local group or a big international enterprise, there are a range of resources, budgets, investments, people to contribute to that objective. But what does this mean in God's world? I think that's a really important focus for us this morning. So let's think about his purpose. In Numbers 14, verse 21, it says, "But as truly as I live, all the earth shall be filled with the glory of the Lord." As truly as I live, all the earth shall be filled with the glory of the Lord. That's a very big ultimate purpose of God. And we know that since the fall in Eden, there's been much done to restore creation to not only be very good, but to be brilliant and eternally perfect. And in Luke 4, which we had a reading earlier this week, wasn't it? I think the purpose that Jesus described when he read from that passage in Isaiah, I find a really powerful example of how God and he are executing on God's purpose. The Spirit of the Lord is on me because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. I find that a really inspiring, liberating, positive purpose to bring about in a troubled world which is racked with imbalance and pain and injustice. So what does this mean for us? Where do we fit relative to this purpose that Jesus has outlined? And there's a model I came across here, and you see four elements that could be associated with stewardship. And there's actually an Institute for Faith, Work and Economics, if you believe. And they've done some research and thinking on this, how to link the way we live today and use our talents into things like God's purpose and the working world. And I thought it was quite interesting. So there's ownership, responsibility, accountability, and reward. They're often the four dimensions related to good stewardship. And so I'd like to explore these maybe a bit today and see if it's a helpful focus for us as we consider our life in God's world and stewards in God's purpose. So shall we have a look at the first one? This is about ownership. And if we start right in the beginning, Genesis 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. It's a fairly obvious one, isn't it? If you've got a creator, a designer, in a way, it's like an owner of all the resources in the world as we know it. And the psalmist begins the 24th psalm with, "The earth is the Lord's, and everything in it, the world and all who are in it." And Colossians 1:16 says, "For by him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things were created by him and for him." So I think this clearly sets the scene for God's ownership of the world and all that is in it. And there's an interesting perspective that C.S. Lewis writes in one of his books. Have a look at this one. "Every faculty you have, your power of thinking or of moving your limbs from moment to moment, is given you by God. If you devoted every moment of your whole life exclusively to his service, you could not give him anything that was not, in a sense, his own already." Now, does it end there, though? Are we left with this reality? It sounds potentially quite unmotivating, that statement, I think, on surface. You know, it sort of could leave you with a thing that, well, maybe it's not worth doing anything because God's already got the full control and ownership of it all. But I think actually it's a really powerful, engaging, privileged relationship that God is inviting us to be part of. Yes, indeed, he does have full oversight and control of the resources in the world, but he's actually designed his purpose to involve people in it and help shape his purpose rather than just simply do it to everyone. And so I think the question then is, with that in mind, how can we help contribute to what he's got in mind? How can we use the different time, talents, resources, wherever, whatever circumstance we find ourselves in, to help him in that way? Because he's really keen to involve us in that. And that's sort of partly what we'll look at now through the other three elements. So let's have a look at responsibility. So again, back in Genesis, this time in verse 28, God created the world very good. And in chapter 1, verse 28, it says, God blessed them and said to them, this is Adam and Eve, be fruitful and increase in number, fill the earth. Adam and Eve and their kind were given a privileged role or duty or responsibility to tend and keep, to cultivate and take care of the garden, as it says in Genesis 2:15. So those phrases, to tend and keep, to cultivate and take care, they're quite powerful words beyond just a gardening or an agricultural sense. It means to guard its boundaries, to keep it well crafted and fruitful. So that's an important word, isn't it? It's producing something of value or of taste or of health. It's a role of service, of labor, of tilling, even worship is the same word. And in modern terms, stewardship, act as custodians, to preserve, to save life, to protect, to guard, to treasure, to demonstrate self-control. They're the sorts of words, modern words, that are associated with that. So this responsibility isn't just like a mute, autonomous creature or a slave to do God's bidding, but we're given freedom and creativity and opportunity to make the most of his creation and bring the best out of it. As it says in 1 Peter 4, verse 10, each one should use whatever gift he's received to serve others, faithfully administering God's grace in its various forms. Now, two Greek words embody the English concept of stewardship, and I'm definitely not a Greek speaker, so apologies with my Australian pronunciation of these. Epitropos means a manager or a foreman or a steward, or in civil service, the governor or procurator, a guardian or trustee of an estate where the heir is still a child. So that's quite a responsibility, isn't it? Someone who's close to the owner of that estate, but they give that capability to someone to look after it until the children are old enough. The other word is oikonomos, which is a steward, a manager, an administrator, and that occurs a bit more frequently in the New Testament. And it's referred mostly to the law or management of a household or household affairs. So it's quite personal and it's important, looking after those closest and of most personal value or affection to the owner. So that's something to consider there in that Peter passage. And then the other one here is 1 Corinthians 3, verse 9. We are God's fellow workers. You are God's field, God's building. And it's interesting, there's a number of different analogies and metaphors used throughout the Bible where we're both part of it. So we can be like a tree, but we can also be like the gardener. We can be building materials, forming part of the temple, and also construction people or designers or architects. And that's how God has involved us as stewards in his vineyard or his garden or his construction site. So we're given responsibility. And we're also part of his creation. We rely on him for life. In him we live and move and have our being, but without reducing us to being just an asset or just a resource. There's a clear dependency on our God. And so, therefore, it's a sort of a careful balance as to sort of claiming things to be ours, whereas actually we're part of his big estate. Matthew 28, verse 18 to 20 says, Jesus is speaking to his disciples towards the end of his mission. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. Surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. So Jesus has given us a wonderful opportunity there to extend this invitation to be stewards to as many people as possible, to be part of the world's most impressive community, and to be full of life and hope and his glorious character. So this is a fundamental principle of biblical stewardship. Whilst God so-called owns and sustains everything, but he's given a responsibility to each of us as managers, as administrators, as stewards, to act on his behalf, inspired by his power and spirit, to contribute to his incredible purpose, to fill the earth with his glory, light, character, justice, wisdom, care for others. Proverbs 31 is another really good example of stewardship, if you want to have a read of that maybe sometime this week. Coming back to this Institute for Faith, Work and Economics, if it's okay, I'm going to read just a short article from that institute. It's quite interesting, their perspective. God presents us with the call to stewardship in Genesis. In doing so, we're being fruitful. This is God's call to stewardship. Sometimes this is referred to a cultural mandate. The implications of being fruitful and productive are massive. We are to build culture and develop the world. This includes all things that we spend our time doing, including engaging in communities, perhaps having and raising families, growing churches and sustainable cities, engaging in commerce and fruitful trade. This is a profound directive, and the effects of doing it well and with purpose allow us to bring hope to the world. We live out the cultural mandate through our work, which includes non-profit work, for-profit work, work inside the home. Work is something that was given as a profound responsibility before the fall in Eden, and as such, is not a curse, but rather a gift. Now, we know that's quite debatable, isn't it? Because some work is very tough. But good work, when we find that special balance, may not be viewed with dread, but with joy. Each person has a unique opportunity to contribute to the cultural mandate because every single individual has something unique to offer that only he or she can give. It's because we're created in the image of God that we are distinct. Everyone was born with gifts and skills that allow him or her to serve others. Our lives are intentional, and we have a role in kingdom building work that does not just occur in the halls of the church on Sunday morning, but rather in all aspects of our lives and our work. This is what we might call whole life stewardship. So it's an interesting perspective, I think, in terms of expanding the contribution that everyone can make, whatever circumstance we might find ourselves in. So shall we have a look at the third element, accountability? As stewards of the resources and abilities and opportunities that God has entrusted to our care, one day each one of us will be called to give an account for how we've managed what the Master has given us. There's a few different parables along these lines, and we had one of those read earlier. So what has God given us? There's all sorts of things, aren't there, at our fingertips. It might be time, it might be abilities, it might be money, it might be information, it might be health, it might be wisdom, it might be how we operate in different environments, it might be relationships, it might be authority and influence, depending on where we are. And this is the maxim taught by the parable of the talents that we read earlier. God has entrusted authority over the creation to us, and with this comes some freedom. We're called to exercise this, managing the resources within his creation according to the principles that he's established. Remembering, how do those resources contribute to God's objectives, his purpose, that pyramid that we started with? It's interesting, in Deuteronomy 8:17, we might say, "My power and the strength of my hands have produced this wealth for me." But then Deuteronomy 8:18 counsels us to think, "Remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you the ability to produce wealth." There's some interesting counterbalances all the way through the scriptures. Like the servants of the parable of the talents, we may be called to give an account of how we've administered everything we've been given. It's quite a daunting thought, actually. I'm not sure quite how that would play out. But Romans 2, verse 6, God focuses on what have people done with their time and resources whilst on earth. I don't think it's like a ledger, but I think he's trying to encourage us to think of this stewardship principle. What kind of fruit have we harvested for him? What on earth are we doing for him and with his resources? And there can be, to me, it becomes quite a confronting set of questions. You know, am I being prudent or am I being a bit too careless or wasteful? Am I being fruitful for others to benefit or am I getting a bit too indulgent? I find that challenging questions to ask myself, but particularly as we're in a society where it's all about making sure you as an individual are doing the maximum you can, not necessarily encouraging us to think about the impact on the whole society. So, yeah, personally, it's a challenging set of questions, but I think that's what God's encouraging us to think about. I want to involve you in my purpose, but there's always a balancing act as to how we're doing that. And I think the reading in 2 Kings 20 is an interesting example with Hezekiah, because he'd been unwell. He'd hoped to, recover from that illness, and he got, I think it was another 15 years. And then what do we just read? He did. He went and exposed all the resources and wealth and richness that I guess God had got, provided to the nation. He showed it to a predatory king, Babylon, who later just came in and took the lot. So it's a really interesting counterbalance. Hezekiah is known for many wonderful things, but that seems like, he took his eye off the mark and, dropped the ball, as it were, in stewardship there. Because that wasn't a good use of the time and resources that God had given him. But even so, I guess that's the thing, isn't it? We can learn from all our different fellow disciples over time. So that's a little bit. We've looked at ownership, we've looked at responsibility, we've looked at accountability. There's another one here with reward. Actually, there's a couple of other passages there that when we look at accountability, Matthew 25. So we had a read of that one, wasn't it? It's a very famous parable of the talents. And there's that contrast, isn't it? Well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful in a few things. That can be a real boost. But there's also a caution as well, isn't that? You wicked, lazy servant. You should have put my money with bankers and received it back with interest. Now, I don't think God is that sort of harsh person who's just beating people up every time they trip over. But he is saying, look, there's some great opportunities I'm giving you. Please make the most of them and see if we can continue to work together on that. And then Romans 2, we had a look at that. So reward. Now, as human beings, we probably quite like this one. I think we're sort of often programmed in a way or motivated to, there's a classic phrase, isn't it, today? What's in it for me? And thankfully, I think God does that for good reason, not because he's just purely saying it's all about sort of a transaction, but there is a lot of positive reasons that God wants us to be part of his purpose. In Colossians 3, verse 23 and 24, Paul writes, "Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart, as working for the Lord, not for men, since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. It is the Lord Christ you are serving." The Bible shows us in the parables of the kingdom that faithful stewards who do the master's will with the master's resources can expect to be rewarded incompletely in this life, but fully in the next. And we can achieve far more with God and Christ than what we could on our own. If we're tiny little people on this very big earth trying to push things out just on our own. But what Paul says in Philippians 4, verse 3, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. When we're attaching ourselves to God's purpose, he will want to ensure that it works well into the future. And so, by God's grace, it'll be wonderful to hear the Master say to us, well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful with a few things. I'll put you in charge of many things. Come and share your Master's happiness. So, as Christians in the 21st century, We have the opportunity to embrace this wide-ranging view of stewardship. It connects everything we do with God, with what God is enacting in this world with His Son. It sees us working alongside them as skilled co-workers in bringing His purpose and His kingdom to life, and hopefully over time helps redress some of the terrible imbalance that we see in the world. Indeed, this morning it's such an important time to refocus on our Lord Jesus Christ, the ultimate steward and custodian of his Father's purpose, enacted perfectly his entire life, given for the salvation of the world, including you and me here today. He's here with us to support us and guide us along the way, to pick us up when we fall, knowing that we can't be perfect stewards, but we're doing what we can for him and for our God. We're no longer foreigners, isolated, excluded, hopeless, without a home, but now brought near by his extraordinary sacrifice, symbolized here in the bread and cup of wine. Now we are fellow citizens with God's people and also members of his household, joined together and rising together to become a holy spiritual temple in the Lord. Today, as an extraordinary gathering of stewards, both here and further afield, let's again renew our commitment to our Master. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Please come soon, our Lord Jesus, and may we be ready to welcome you.